Again, it just seems forever since we've been here, doesn't it? Man, it's good to be back. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful, Father, that you would bring us back again, Lord. And when it's been a space of time, we just realize how much we miss these times together, Lord. And we just ask that, Father, that you would come and be among us tonight, Lord, as you promised to do, Lord, and just meet the needs, Father. We come, Lord. I pray everyone's come prayed up and ready and just hungering and thirsting for more of you, Lord Jesus, so you can come and meet our needs, Lord, as you promised to do, Lord. We just ask that you would have your way now among us, Lord. Be with the ones who couldn't make it tonight. Lord, strengthen them too, Lord Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles, we're going to read a couple of places. Go to Romans 12 first. Very familiar scripture there. And we'll just start off by reading Romans 12, 1 and 2. Hope you're all enjoying this nice winter weather. So, strangest thing happened to me last week. I said, the thought came to my mind, and I just said, I like winter. 2 years ago, only thing out of my mouth was, I hate winter. And I tell you what, brother, sister, it was just last year I changed my attitude, and now I said, I like it. I prefer summer, don't get me wrong. I ain't crazy. But I really like this. It's kind of neat. I don't know why, so don't ask me. Anyways, God can do amazing things. Amen. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may be seated. I tell you what, just reading that, I'm just ready to start. Oh, just exciting, brother and sister, because I look at this and I see this is what God's doing right here. All right, He's transforming us by renewing our minds so that we can fulfill His perfect will for us. Think about it. You have a purpose. Excuse me. Can I read a quote? Let me read this. Brother Branham says, we find out that His nature was here to always warn a man before judgment, to warn a nation before judgment, and so forth. He always gives His warning, a reminder to us of a responsibility. We are responsible. He gives a warning to us that we have a responsibility. Oh, we have a responsibility. He warns us. He said, you have a stewardship. You have something I want you to accomplish. We are responsible, and God has put us on the earth for a reason, and that reason that He put us here for, we are responsible to Him for that reason. You should go to Him and find out what He wants you to do. Think about it. Go to Him and find out, and then here in Romans it says, He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So to be able to perform that purpose that you're here for, we need to get our minds right. It's really simple. We got to get our minds right. Brother and sister, when you're born again, your soul is right. The battle is in our minds. This is what we had to fight right up here, okay? We need to find out what God wants us to do. I'm excited. I'm trying to calm down here a little bit, but my. If you went to work for a man, he gave you a job on a ranch or something or another, and you just went out to the barn, sat down and said, well,
See, you must go ask him what he wants you to do and then do it. If you're working for a man, find out what your duty is. We got a lot of people who just want to come to church and sit here and say, well, I'm here, preach me happy. We all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have something that we are responsible for. And brother, sister, as long as our mind isn't right, we are not going to be able to fulfill that purpose God has for us. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation comes when you're born again. You are saved. You are sealed. But God saved you. He sealed you for a purpose. Oh, my. He sealed us for a purpose. And we need to find out what that purpose is. He said, then if our life is on earth here, we should go to the one who put us here and say, Lord, what would you have me do? What must I do? Why am I here? You ever ask that question? A wise person does. Why am I here? If it's to be a housewife, a dishwasher, whatever God wants you to do, then you do the very best that you know how to do, no matter how it is, how little it is. You must do it. That's where we run into problems sometimes. I want to be the big dog. Well, I want people to notice me. I want to be noticed. That needs to be renewed in your mind, brother and sister. We want one person to be noticed. That's Christ. That's what we want to see. All right. I'm just going to keep going. There's more. Everything has to be in order. Brother Branham gives the example of a watch. Now you get your watch, and all I look at is the face here, and watch those little hands going around, right? But if everything inside the watch isn't in place, those hands aren't going to keep time. And so you say, well, this is Brother Jerry Church. I go to Brother Jerry Church. He's a pastor. That's right. And that's what we come, he preaches, and that's what we're looking at. But everyone in the church has to be in place. For this church to run right, everyone has to be doing their job. Everyone has to be here in place. It's important. You say, well, I just come here. I don't sing. I pay low tithes. I just kind of sit there and listen, and I go home. And if you're not here, you're out of place. Think about it. Well, I'm not important. Well, look, see this little thing? Little fingernail, right? Pretty unimportant. Take a pliers and rip it out. Now how important is it? See, when we look at it from a natural point of view, from natural eyes, you can look at anyone and say, well, none of us are really all that important. If you're part of the body in Christ, how much more important do you want to be? David, just a minute ago, we were talking, he said, you know, David said, I'd rather be just a rug on the floor, just a mat, doormat in the house of God than to dwell with the rich and the evil, whatever. Think about why. Because look at the end, brother and sister. Would you like to go to a great, big, nice church, and as soon as you die, you're in hell? Obviously you don't, because that's why you're here. You care. You care about it. Let me get to that quote right now. Brother Branham's talking about, he cares, do you care? You know, if God cares, why does he allow the suffering? See, brother and sister, he cares, but then he asks, do you care? He said, well, how do you know he cares? Listen to this. He said, we find in the days of Noah, God was going to judge the world when it comes just like it is now, because Jesus said it was. He said, did he care? Certainly he cared. He cared for what? After he'd already knew judgment was coming and had pronounced judgment, he cared for those who cared. He said, judgment was coming, but now if you care, I'm going to care for you. And this world we're living in, everyone knows judgment is coming. And what are the sinners doing? They are running as hard as they can to enjoy this world as much as they can, because their subconscious tells them something's going to happen. And a lot of those people are message believers and whatever other kind of believers and make-believe or whatever, but they know something bad is happening. You can read it in the news. There's all kinds of people getting up and saying, we're going to have a terrible economic crash. We're going to have this happen. We're going to have this crazy stuff happen. And everyone is expecting something horrible to happen. But they don't care. They don't care about what? They care about themselves. The question is, do you care about yourself or do you care about the purpose God put you here for? My. He cares. Do you care? Because if you care, he cares for you. He'll take care of you. But what is your purpose here? So many times, we want to get saved to miss hell. Hey, I promise you, I want to miss hell. But God doesn't save you just for that reason. He saves you. He says, now you're part of my body. Now fulfill your role in my body. Do you care? Are you too consumed with your own stuff?
I was thinking, what am I going to call this? And I thought, maybe I'll just call it your own stuff. Because we're going to talk about your own stuff.
He cared.
Let me find a place where I'm stuck.
He cared for those who cared, and that's the same it is today. He cared for those who are willing to care. He sent them a prophet to direct his elected people to his provided way for their escape. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We find that God cared for his people. Now listen, there is a provided way, and if you care, you have to come his provided way. A lot of people don't care his provided way. They want to come their way. He says, well, then you don't care. He has a provided way. That's why he sent us a prophet, so that he could get us back on the truth. There's a lot of really, really good religions in the world that can really help you live a good, happy life. There's a lot of really good psychologists who can help you live a good, happy life. But there's one provided way if you want to be saved. And I'm not saying bad about these religion or psychology or anything else. Just make sure you keep it in his place, brother and sister, because that's not going to give you a new birth. But it can help your mind. It really can. Look into this a little bit more. God spoke to Noah, which was the word. He told him to prepare an ark for the saving of the people, to warn all the people that he had one way of salvation. Notice the humble and sincere heard this man and believed and escaped. The humble and the sincere. I'm trying to find this one quote where he says, here it is. He talked about Israel coming out of Egypt, how he took care of him, he took care of him, he took care of him. He said, showing he was a care for them, he said, if they're ready to confess and repent and believe and accept, God cares. But we have to be really willing to confess, repent, believe, accept. But you got to care first. You got to accept that what he sent you. Brother and sister, you've got to accept the way he sends it, how he sends it, who he sends. You got to care enough to lay down your own pride and say, okay, God, if this is the way you want me to do it, this is the way it's going to be done. See, it's what you care about. A lot of people, they get upset when some things are preached because they care more about their self than God in that moment. That's what gets us upset, brother and sister, because we're caring too much about us. It's our stuff.
Oh, I can't find that quote I was looking for. I thought that was it. It's not. But here it is. All right.
He said, he sent the prophet. He brought the way. He showed the way. He made a way of escape. They escaped the judgment. He did that to the elected. We know that. He did that to the elect, only to the elect now. They had been the ones who had accepted this germ of life. Listen, the elect had to accept. All right? The elect didn't just say, well, if I'm elect, God's going to save me. Oh, no, he's not. That's not his provided way. You are responsible for choosing. You have a choice to make. My. they were the ones who were predestinated to see it. They were the ones. He said, if we believe the Bible, we have to believe in predestination. Not God is willing that they should suffer. But he knew who'd receive it and who wouldn't. But it's not that God wants to put anyone in judgment. But he said he's warned. He said he doesn't bring a nation to judgment before warning them. And he has warned this nation and they didn't care. And how many message believers are sitting in that same seat because they found a comfortable place to be a message believer and they don't care anymore? Why? Because they have been taught that you're going to be fine. Some easy salvation, some easy preaching, just tell them some deep doctrines and you believe this and you believe that, you're going to be fine because that minister don't care for their soul. Something else I was thinking when I was studying for this. This might not be the most popular message I ever preached because by the time we're done, it might be kind of rough. But I care enough to tell you anyways. Not Phil Bontrager. It ain't him because he wants to back off and, hey, you guys like what I preach? You like that, huh? Was it good? That's Phil. And Phil don't matter right now. But something inside says, you going to preach it? He said, God's not willing that any should suffer. Well, now, Brother Phil, if God's not willing for any to suffer, then why do we see so much suffering around here? Surely Brother Branham didn't mean to say that. Because we have a lot of suffering. Obviously, that's a carnal interpretation of it, isn't it? People care more about being blessed in this life. I want to be happy here. I want my millennium now. Oh, they don't say it, but their actions prove it. Their actions prove it because they do all they can to make sure I am happy now. But what did Brother Branham say? Eternal life is what? Living for others. That's eternal life. So you know what carnal people do? They say, well, I'm going to do something nice for somebody to prove I'm living for others. That proves I have eternal life. No, it proves you're a Pharisee. It doesn't prove anything, brother, sister. It's not what you do because you're supposed to, because you're trying to show you're a Christian. It's what comes naturally. It just lives out of you. It's not you trying to be religious. It's just who you are. Can I give an example? Let me pick on someone. Brother Wayne, I ain't picked on you for a while. In the last couple years, if you know Brother Wayne, you know that he has gone through some incredibly painful physical suffering. Sometimes he comes to church and he can't hardly walk. And he'll come limping up here to take the offering. I thought, man, Brother Wayne. And he moves slowly, and he's, you know, sometimes you just see him, and he's talked a little bit about how some of the surgeries and some of the things going on, and he can't get the insurance to pay for all this kind of stuff. He's been suffering. But do you notice what I said? He comes to church. Why? Because that's what he does. It's his nature. When the church doors is open, I'm going to be in church. And he's doing it, whether he thinks about it, he is living for others because he has a post to do right here in this church to serve others. That's what it's talking about. Now, if he came to God, I'm going to go to church to prove everyone that I'm living for others. God would look at that and say, just go back to bed. It just comes natural, folks. And if it's not coming natural for you, then it's because your mind needs to be renewed. You got too much of your own stuff in the way. Well, I don't feel good enough to go to church. Hey, look, I'm not talking about, Brother Wayne has missed church sometime because his suffering is rough. And if you can't make it for whatever reason, and it's legitimate, I'm not talking about that. So quit sitting there and thinking all kinds of weird thoughts. We all miss church except for Brother, no, Brother Paul, he travels up to Ohio. He misses too. We all miss church sometime for whatever reason. I'm not preaching a legalistic, you better be in church. I'm saying if it's in your heart to serve God, you're going to be here when you can be here. Do you care? Or is your own stuff more important? See, we want God to end our suffering. I want to stop suffering. But are we willing to come His provided way to end the suffering? Because sometimes the suffering is what brings us to Christ. Well, what did Brother Jerry say, I think, the last time he preached? He said, if he had a choice to go back and not go through all the suffering he's gone through, he would say, no, because I want to be where I am at right now. He knows the suffering is what brought him here. The suffering can be the most blessed thing there is. And yet we hate it. We try to avoid it. We try to get away from it. Why? Because of suffering. Nobody says, well, I sure hope God hits me with some serious troubles and suffering because I just, no. Your flesh doesn't do that. We cringe from it. But yeah, you know when you got closer to God is when you've gone through suffering, isn't it? It sure is. Let's kind of take a break here and turn over to Colossians. Read a little bit here. Colossians 1. We'll start at verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So here we're talking about knowing His will again. But what does it say? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can know the perfect will of God. Now he's saying, we ask that you can know the knowledge to know the will of God. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, worthy of the Lord, what He has called you to do, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. That ain't your might, that's His might. According to His glorious power. Listen to this. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Long suffering with joyfulness. Now, stand in judgment of yourself. Bible says, judge yourself, you may not judge. Do you go through your long sufferings with joy? I'm not talking about happy. I'm not talking about, oh yeah, I'm happy, woohoo, I have a big old smile on my face. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, does your stuff get in your way so much you lose the joy of the Lord? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. That is one of the most powerful phrases in the whole Bible. If you catch that revelation, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So no matter what's going on, do you have joy through the midst of your suffering? Or do you have to wait till you get past it before you have joy? You're just a happy person then. But as soon as bad stuff happened, now you're not happy anymore. See, I'm not talking about that kind of natural happiness. I'm talking about, do you know the joy of the Lord? And if you don't, brother and sister, if you don't and you're born again, you know what I'm talking about? It's because you still got too much stuff you're focused on. The battle in the mind is still keeping you bogged down. Bogged down. Because we focus on what I care about. What do you care about? Well, brother Phil, sometimes I just get sad. I'm not talking about that. What's your attitude while you're sad? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, being a Christian, is everyone just happy, joy, and glee, and all that kind of stuff? That's a lot of baloney. We have loss. We have suffering. We have all kinds of stuff going on. We have emotional strains and whatever. Brothers and sisters, these things are real. But do you keep focused on your purpose or do you get your mind off of that? Because that's Satan's intent, is to get us so emotionally charged that we forget our purpose. And then God asks you, don't you care? You're saying, God, I'm suffering so much. Don't you care? He's asking you, don't you care? But God, I'm in so much distress. He said, don't you care? Do you care more about me and my purpose for you, or do you care about your own stuff?
It comes with maturity. It comes with maturity. You're going to stop asking God if he cares. Because you start recognizing, oh my goodness, what an insult to him. After all he's done for me. And I'm going to question, does he care? Don't you see how I'm suffering, God? Don't you see how I'm suffering? He's asked, don't you care? You said, but God, don't you care? He has, you got to care first. I already showed I cared. Why don't you show you care? What are you focused on? Not too long ago, just a couple days actually, I was praying and I was thinking about this church and some of the suffering, some of the horrible, hard times we've gone through here. And I started praying about it. You know, I said, God, you know, we're just so many people, so much suffering, such a small group. And it's true. You know what God answered? He rebuked me. He said, what are you talking about? You're feeling sorry for this group of people? He said, where is your perspective? What is the end result? These are the most blessed people on earth. What are you feeling sorry for? Don't you know what's coming? Where is your perspective? How dare you doubt the end I have predestinated for you? You're focusing on the wrong thing, Phil. Your purpose is not to feel sorry for these people. It's to pray for them. I'm not feeling sorry for them. Why are you? Look at yourself. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever you've gone through, look at yourself, the situation you're in. All right, you there? Now take away your salvation and look at yourself. Oh, what a different perspective. Because you're going to go through all this and then die and go to hell. Let me tell you something. The whole world suffers. We all suffer. There is mentally ill people doing crazy stuff out in the world. There are kids being stolen from their parents, from schools, and their parents never see them again, and they're trapped in some sex trade until they're killed. And 20 years later, their parents wonder what happened to my 5-year-old little girl. Never heard from her again. There's people being burned alive. They're being literally tortured. They're being butchered. Families being ripped apart, and they live through this, and they die, and they go to hell. That's not your end. You have been called to a higher purpose. How dare you feel sorry for yourself? How dare you walk around feeling down? You have a purpose, and that's to be the body of Christ. And as long as you let your stuff get in the way, he cannot manifest to you. He can't manifest to you when you are so down because focus on yourself. Get out of your way. You are not important. It's your purpose God has for you. We walk through life sometimes just going through the motions. But God, he's saying, don't you care?
so focused on wanting to be happy here. I want to be happy now. I want to enjoy this life, God. I want to enjoy this life. He said, you can. But you're still going to suffer. Everybody suffers in this life. There's people suffering worse than us. I quit feeling bad for us. I said, what a blessed people. What a blessed people. We are the most blessed people on earth. Because our suffering does what? It gets us closer to Christ. Their suffering gets them to drugs and hell and suicide and everything else. Our gets us more Christ-like. What a blessed thing to suffer. I hate it. I hate suffering. But it's the greatest thing can happen sometime. But your attitude determines what it's going to do for you. It's your attitude. What's your approach to it? Brother Phil, I just get so I just feel so bad, or I'm just so tore up about this, I'm so tore about, and I just don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do in a minute. I'm going to tell you right now. You got to let it go. You gotta let it go. Brother Phil, I tried to let it go. let me before I get to that, let me just look. I am not belittling our suffering. It is real. It has to be real. I'm not saying you're not gonna be sad. I'm not gonna say you're not gonna have you know stress and all this stuff, but brother and sister, what I'm saying is keep it in perspective. Live for others. How many times did Brother Jerry come and preach when he was just physically, emotionally, mentally just beat up? What did he do? He said, I'm gonna set that aside, I'm gonna come here because you needed it. We needed it. That's what I'm talking about. The wrong attitude makes your suffering worse. Because you know what it becomes? It becomes your comfort. Oh! Let me tell you why I'm preaching to myself so hard tonight, I can't hardly stand being up here. It becomes your comfort because it becomes comfortable to just get down there and just wallow in your misery. Misery loves company. If no one else is going to join you, you can just get down there with yourself and just feel so sorry for yourself. You poor thing. Well, they hurt my feelings. Boy, that hurts me. I get home sometime and I look around the house and there's no one there. And the thoughts start coming. Boy, you're all alone. You're sure lonely. And then it leads to an emotion. Boy, I'm lonely. I wish there was someone here. I want to go down and buy something at Walmart just to talk to the cashier. I ain't kidding. And you know what I start doing? God, I'm just so lonely. And you know what he starts doing? I ain't listening to that. What are you feeling bad about? You're going to feel down? Look around the world. The whole world is lonely. Billions of people are out there striving, finding some way not to be lonely, and they're trying to satisfy that with everything Satan can offer. And they're going to die and go to hell. Where are you going when you die, Phil? Yeah, perspective. You can't put up with a little loneliness here, Phil, you big baby. I don't like it. My flesh doesn't like it. My spirit realm gets all tore up sometime. And then he comes on the scene and puts it back in perspective and says, I ain't listening to your crying. Get over yourself, you big baby. If this is the trial, let me tell you, if this is the trial that God has me to go through until I die of old age at 99,
I am the most blessed person on earth. Because a lot of you have gone through a lot worse than that. God has been so good to me. But it's our attitude. What do you do when you're going through this stuff? Because see, if you have the wrong attitude, then you cannot have the joy of the Lord. You cannot have that joy while you're going through this suffering. There is no long suffering. To it is short suffering, and I'm crying. Ain't what I'm talking, is not easy, brother and sister. You can't do it on your own. You need the power of God. You need a new birth first. And if you have that, then you're going to get here. But brother and sister, don't make it harder on yourself by dragging your heels with a bad attitude. We protect ourselves. We protect ourselves so we can't get hurt. Because see, if I'm already feeling down, then it's hard for me to feel worse. And something else bad happens, I just, just one of those days. And it's a protection so I don't get hurt more. You can't live for others while you're protecting yourself. You got to let yourself go. You know what really makes me excited when something like this comes up? I've seen it over the years. Brother Jerry preached. He preached on something. It means it's time to manifest it. And for those of you who are accepting this, and it's going down and it's anchoring, it's a revelation in your heart, you're going to find yourself manifesting this more and more, because God's saying, he doesn't just preach, let me see, what should I have preached tonight? Eeny, meeny, no. He says, this is time for this. So some of you just better stand by. If you're struggling with this, you're going to find that you are going to overcome more of yourself. So how do you let go? First thing, brother and sister, you know, you need to make sure that you are born again. Because that inside, that soul, it has to be God. Because if it's still the old nature, you will never be unselfish. You're not going to get unselfish. Now, you can put on some works. You can make yourself look unselfish. You can do all kinds of good religious works. But your core, your very nature, you're still going to be self-centered. It needs to be changed. Jesus gave an example how to live unselfishly. Do what God asked him to do. What was his? He said, I always do that which pleases the Father. That is unselfish, because God's going to ask you to do stuff that is not selfish. Living for others is not selfish. Living for others, you're going to do things that you don't want to do. You know, when we go out and I did something, you know, I helped a brother Will shovel the snow, man. I feel this warm, fuzzy feeling because I live for others. I help brother Will. That ain't it. Sometimes you hold someone accountable for their actions. That's living for others, and they hate you for it. Some of you parents know that's true. Sometimes, you know, the Bible says a husband's supposed to give himself for his wife. I know all about this. I've been married for so many years. You're supposed to give yourself for your wife. That is not a pleasant thing to do, because it takes humility, and humility is not pleasant to our own nature. It's the antithesis of our old nature. It's not what your old nature. Your old nature is all about self. The battle in our mind. Keep focused on ourselves. Satan brings up these emotions. He has someone say something to you. He gets you worried about something. Why? So that you will focus on yourself. How is this going to work out? What's going to happen? I don't want this to do. I want to do this. I want to keep track of this. I'm in control. Because if you give up control, you become vulnerable. And Satan has tricked us into believing that as long as I'm in control, I'm in control. You ain't in control of nothing. Because as long as you're in control, you have said, okay, Satan, you drive. And when you give the control to God, you say, okay, God, you drive.
It's one of those two driving, folks. And you might pass that back and forth several times during the same day. Something comes up and spurs our emotions, and we get escalated. And then we have to take control. How do we do that? You want to talk? You want to sass me? I'll sass you back. I'll teach you not to hurt my feelings. Yes, sir. I'll protect myself. You know what's amazing? The things we protect about ourselves are usually the things we like the least about ourselves. Think about it. When someone hurts my feelings, what is that hurting? Pride. I hate my pride. And yet I strive to protect it. Ain't human nature just amazing? The devil has figured us out. He knows how to keep us in an uproar, tore up about every little thing. He knows your weakness. He knows how to get there. He knows how to push your buttons. Because as long as he can keep us emotionally escalated, we're not going to be serving our purpose. Nope. Because God cannot manifest through you while you got that all clogged up with yourself. That soul sitting inside there is trying to express Christ. It's your purpose to express Christ to the world. However you've been called to do it, you've been called to express Christ. But as long as we're focused on myself, it shuts that off. And God asks, don't you care? God, I'm trying as hard as I can. He said, I don't ask if you're trying. I said, do you care? Do you care enough to let me have it? I can't tell you how many times over the years I prayed, God, I'm giving this into your hands. God, I just take this from me. I'm just letting go. I'm giving it to your hands. Just take it from me. I'm just take it from me. And I look up and I still got a hold of it. Why? Why don't we let it go? I promise you, if you let it go, the minute you let it go, he takes it. So if you said, well, I've given it to God and he hasn't taken it, you haven't let go. Let's be honest with ourselves. So why would I pray and I'm so sincere and I'm crying and I say, God, take this from me. And then 2 weeks later, I'm still holding on to why? Because I don't trust him with it. He might not handle it the way I want him to handle it. Hey, I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've lived this. Still do. Because, you know, God, I just whatever you want, however, and then you feel just something holding back a little bit, but not that. Oh, my goodness. What a moron. You know, you say, you know, to let go, to really give it up, you have to hate that thing. Well, that's one way to put it. You have to really want to let it go. You do. But what that means is you're willing to, however God works it out, you're going to accept that. That's how you let go, brothers and sisters. You need to come to the mindset, just like if you are terminally ill. I've used this example before. If you are terminally ill and the doctor says, we give you all the medicine, all the surgery we can do, we can't do nothing, you're going to die within 6 weeks. There's nothing else we can do. And so you go to God and say, God, you're a healer. I ask you to heal me. And by the way, I'm going to keep trying real hard to be well. I said, I can't heal you. It's the same with letting go, brother. Says, you need to come to a place where you know you cannot control this. You cannot get rid of this. You cannot let it go. You have to go to God and say, hey, listen, you either take it or I'm just going to sit here and suffer. Think about that. God, I'm so tore up about something. My mind is just in crazy. I give it to you. Take away the suffering. Oh, you didn't let it go. Because you said, I give it to you. Take away the suffering. I thought you said you let it go. I did. Not if you're telling him what to do. I'll give it to you. What you're saying is, I'll give this to you if you take away the suffering. And he might say, it's not time for your suffering to be over. Are you willing to accept that answer? You going to pray, God, I'm dying. I got 6 weeks to live. Heal me. I give it to you. He said, I'm not going to heal you. What? I got to find another doctor.
You're not willing to let him have it. If it's his will for me to die in 6 weeks, then praise God, I'm going home. That's the attitude to have. He said, God, I'm so tore up about this. It would take it from me. He said, I'm going to let you suffer there for 6 more months with that thing. Praise God, it's his will for me to suffer. 6 months, I'm going to be so much closer to Christ. So much more Christ-like. Are you willing to approach it that way? Most of us don't. Because as soon as we give it to God and he don't take it away or do what he wants with it, we go back to wrestling with it again. Well, I thought God, I gave it to God, but he didn't take it. So I got to keep trying. I got to keep fighting this battle. I got to keep worrying about this. I got to keep dealing with this person. And this person still irritates me. And I got to deal with it. Because you gave it to God with a string attached. And as soon as he didn't work it out the way you wanted to, you jerked it back into your own control and said, okay, well, I guess God's not ready to take it yet. Oh, he's ready to take it. You're just not ready to let it go. Because see, when you do, and I can say this from personal experience too, when you actually let it go, no matter how he handles it, you have peace. You have found joy in the midst of your sorrow. Because you know it's all in God's hand, and you just relax. That is also the truth. I'm a living testimony of that too. You put it in God's hand, and you just go on. And when it rises up, listen to me, please. When it rises up, you look at it, and you say, that ain't mine. That ain't mine. That temper, that ain't mine. That's in God's hands. You don't get in there and, oh, I'm going to be mad. And you start wrestling. I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to have a long time. I'm not going to be sad. You're fighting with yourself. You're taking it back from God's hand. When you really put it in his hand, when that comes up in your emotion, you sit there and look at it and say, that ain't my problem. That's God's problem. No, but I feel sad. Yeah. And that's God's problem because you put it in his hands. And he wants me to feel sad, praise God, because he knows it's going to work through me what needs to be worked. You want some freedom, brother and sister? That's your freedom. That's the transforming by the renewing of your mind. Give it up and let it go. But something comes up and our feelings get hurt and we jump right in there again. Something comes up and a worry comes in and we jump right in there again. And all of a sudden something happens and we jump right in again and try to fix it ourselves. We jerk it out of God's hand and say, fine, I'll take care of it myself. He said, I would never talk to God like that. Your actions are saying that. You talk about amazing grace. I bet sometimes he just feels like slapping us down and say, you stupid child, let me have it. Told you it's not going to be very popular. You give it to God with a restriction. You give it to God under conditions. God, take this from me. I'm waiting to stop suffering. I'm waiting to stop being tempted. I'm waiting to stop reacting this way. That's not giving it to God. You give it to God and whatever he does with it is fine. God, I have this disease. I need to be healed. Okay, give it to God. You ain't healed yet. It's not my problem. I put it in God's hand. What if he lets you die? What if he lets you suffer? Lots of other people have died before me, and lots of people have suffered before me too. And, you know, I'm still good. If that's his purpose for me, then that let it be done. Do you trust him with that? That's the problem, isn't it? It's a matter of trust. He gives us a whole book full of promises. And then he says, do you believe me? Do you believe me? Do you believe I'm going to take care of you like my own child? I'm going to take care of you like the wife I love more than anything else in the world. Do you believe me? I believe you, Lord. Then why don't you give me your problems and let me handle them? I'm trying to, God. There ain't no try to it. Say, you don't really trust me yet, do you? And what you need to do is say, you're right, God. I still have issues with trust. Because that's going to be a lot better than trying to argue that, oh, God, I do too trust you.
Sound like a little kid arguing with daddy.
I didn't do that, daddy. I didn't steal those cookies. Got the crumbs on his hands.
Gotta let go your own stuff. It's the hardest thing. The greatest battle ever fought? Your own stuff. Because you know that there are buttons that can be pushed. And when those buttons are pushed, however it comes, you react emotionally. And emotionally, it's fine as long as it's according to the will of God. You say, well, you can't help how you feel. Okay, but you can still help how you act. And I promise you, brother and sister, the more you act by letting it go and just sit there and that's in God's hand, the easier it's going to be. You're going to grow stronger, brother and sister, until you get to a point where you don't get too high, you don't get too low. You just stay in an even keel because it's all in God's hands. I'm a very emotional person. And when I think of that, I think, boy, God's going to have to do a serious work in my life. And he is, and he's doing it. And I see little bits here. It worked there. It happened. God did that. And here, but there's still times when I just do something stupid. But the work is in progress. And it's in progress in you too. You know, I've said many times, I see Christ when I look out here. And I do. And I can look at almost every person here and I say, I've seen Christ manifest in your life this time or that time or something like that. You might not even have noticed it. But, can we be honest? There can be a lot more display of Christ among us than we see now. And that's why he's bringing this. That's why he's preaching this. He says, it's time to get rid of our stuff. This ain't the first time I've been preaching. I've been preaching many times through here. But it's an ongoing thing. Keep going forward. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You say, sometimes I feel so weak as a Christian. Why? Because we got so focused on our stuff or so much has come up. And sometimes we don't realize. Sometimes something's going to happen with someone else and we're so focused on taking care of that person in our own strength. And we feel beat down and we feel discouraged, whatever. And we lose the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. When I'm helping someone else, when you're helping someone else, you need to do it with the power of God working through you, brother and sister. It's got to be God doing it. Does that mean you're not going to get beat down? You're going to get tired. You're going to get wore out. You're going to get weary. That's just part of it. But keep focused on your purpose. What am I doing here? Because see, it's like when I come to preach, I know that if I come up here without God giving me something to preach, I am going to have nothing to say. It'll be total failure. And I'm not depending on my own intellect or what I know, something to come up. I said, God, this is in your hand. You have to give me something to preach, or I don't have nothing to say. But he's faithful to give me something to say. It's the same thing. Any gift, anything you do, it's got to be the same thing. I want to talk to Brother Will. I want to, have something to say to encourage him. I can say all kinds of encouraging things to Brother Will, but if it's not God working through me, it's just a bunch of waste of time. Jesus said, I only do that which pleases the Father. That doesn't mean he walked around and said, God, should I eat this? God, should I sit in this chair or that chair? What clothes should I wear? God's interested in all those things. He is. But that's not what he's doing. It's like when it's time to minister to someone, he only ministered as the Father led him to minister. We can get so spiritual. We get so religious sometimes. We're doing everything in the name of the Lord. So every time you do something, I'm getting up from the table in the name of the Lord. I'm going to bed in the name of the Lord. Just quit. But brother and sister, the more you get rid of your own stuff, the more God takes control of your life. And he's waiting to do it.
Remember Brother Branham said, he wants to get in there. It's like, what he said, a 4-inch pipe from here to the moon, all that pressure pushing that water down. That's how bad he's trying to get into our soul and try to live through us. And we have so much of our own stuff getting in the way. And that's one reason to come to church, because it exposes it. And once you expose the devil, then you have something you can make him leave. We live in a body that hurts. We live in an emotional realm that hurts. Let me ask you this. Let me try to quit here. Who are you? If I asked you, who are you? What would you say? Well, I'm Phil. Is that who you are? Is that just a label that someone gave to this body? Well, then I'm this body. Really? So if you die and you're buried, and 500 years from now, your dust is laying there, and someone says, who are you? Well, see that dust right there? That's me. That dust isn't you. It's just, this is just the body that holds me. You say, well, then, I'm my thoughts. I am my emotions. I am, really? Is that going to heaven with you? You're getting a new mind, right? A new spirit. Then who are you? You are that person who sits inside there and says, Phil, stop being an idiot. Phil, you do not have to react to that emotion. Phil, you can love that person no matter how they treat you. It's your soul, brother. Says that's the internal part. You're getting a new body. You're getting a new spirit. But that soul, when it's born again right now, it is eternal. That makes it God. I dare you just believe that sometime, that you really have God inside of you, that you are God. And the human mind just stumbles all over that. You mean I pray to myself? In a way, yes. In a way, no. It's true. You are a part of God. You came from God. You're going back to God. That seed of God in you came from God, is part of God. Brother Brown said, if a dog has a little, what is, a dog has a baby, what is, it's a dog, right? A duck has a baby, it's a duck. Well, if God has a baby, has a child, what is it? It's God. Recognize who we are, brother and sister. Then when these things come at us, when excuse me, when your emotions rise up and tries to take control, and you react to it, what you're doing is you are shutting off that real you and stepping out of there and reacting according to how your emotions want you to act. You're stopping your purpose. Amen. You're saying, God, step back a minute. I've got to handle this because my feelings got hurt, or because my family is tore up, or because this has happened and that's happened. And you're saying, God, just step back a minute. I got this. You say, but Brother Phil, when your emotions rise, what are you supposed to do? Give it to God. How many times have I done this? Maybe you have too. The temptation comes. What is it to do? To sass somebody, to ignore somebody, to pout, to do whatever. And in the moment, I give in to it. And then the next time, you know, I pray, God, I'm so sorry. Please take this from me. Take this from me. And the next time that rises up, I do it again. God, just not taking it from me. Let me say something. You want to give it to God? Do it in the moment. You can always repent later. But we got to get to a point where in the moment we give it to God. That's when he wants it. You feel that temper rising up and just let it keep going. Say, God, here's my temper. Take it, take it, take it. You say, well, what if he doesn't? And you didn't give it to him. You say, well, what if His will is that you blow your top again. Then blow your top knowing that you're in the will of God. This is going to sound weird, and if you don't believe this, that's fine. But I know there's been situations in my life where I put something in God's hand and said, God, I'm free from this. And he turns around and lets me fall in that very same thing. Why?
to see if I would pick it up and try again on my own because he didn't take care of it the way I thought he would. You say God will allow you to fall in sin on purpose? Yes, he did. And if that blasphemes your religion, you just pray for me. You know how I know it's true? Because when I didn't pick it up, he took it away after a while. He just seeing, because I was so legalistic, trying so hard, when something, I try so hard, and so he let me fall and say, all right, you're going to go back to your legalism and try to live good enough? And I got to a place that I said, no, sir. But you just sinned, and Satan was having a heyday. He was dancing around. Look at you, you claim to be free. You claim this, you claim that. Look at you. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? And God was testing. He said, are you going to try again? No, sir. I'm repenting. I go on. Because you know what God told me? He said, stop looking at your flesh. Look at who you really are. Watch me work. Recognize you who you are, and then you know you have a purpose. Fulfill that purpose if you care to. If you care to. I was thinking recently, you know, people say stuff and we get hurt, and so we protect ourselves, right? And we all have our own defensive mechanism we put in place. Either, for me personally, either if you say something, I'm going to lash back at you and let you know you better stay off of that. Better not talk about that. You better not get on my case about that because that hurts my feelings, and I'm going to lash back at you and try and shut you up. Or I'm going to, if I can't do that, I'm just going to withdraw from you and just leave you. I don't have nothing to do with you. I'm going to stay away from you. Or I'll pout, or I'll do something to protect my own little feelings. We all do something like that to extend until we outgrow it. But I was thinking about that. When my feelings get hurt, how do I approach God? When your feelings get hurt, how do you approach God about that? Because I realize I don't. Because what am I going to do? God, he hurt my feelings. Really? He hurt your feelings. Yeah, he said something bad. Well, don't worry. I'll get him for you. What do you want God to do? What do you want God to do about someone who hurts your feelings? But it hurts. Well, yeah, it hurts. That's why I said it hurts your feelings. Think about it. What do we want God to do? You know what he's going to say? Suck it up, cupcake. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. He hurt my feelings. Well, my wife sassed me. Well, that's what she's supposed to do. What, you got too much pride? That's all it is. Stop protecting yourself. Just look at it and say, hey, yep, hurt my feelings. What's my purpose in life? Because as soon as I go to protect my feelings, I cut off the supply to fulfill my purpose. Yep. And for those of us who are extra sensitive, it's a fun battle. And I've been, last several years at work especially, God has given me friends. And I know, I look back, I know God why God gave me those friends. Because they, a lot of time, unintentionally, they just say stuff and it just slices down and it just hurts my, I feel so disrespected. And I just want to, how dare you talk like me like that kind of attitude. And over time, I'm getting to the place where it's like, okay, I ain't there 100% yet, so don't go around hurting my feelings, okay? All God's looking for is that bride without spot or wrinkle who is fulfilling her purpose in this life. You want to have a life that matters?
You lay down on your deathbed and you're, you know, my life is slipping away, and you look back at your life. So many people say, what legacy am I leaving behind? Did it matter? I want to do something. You know, so many people, I want to do something in life that matters. And so they like a lot of people work in the field, like, you know, working with kids. I want to do something that matters. I want to have a fulfilling life. You know, so I meant something while I was here. There's only one way to do it. Fulfill your purpose that God has for you. Do you want to have a reason to get up in the morning? Not just be going through the motions. You want real happiness? Happiness isn't happiness if it can go away when you're feeling sad. The joy of the Lord sticks with you through the sadness. That's why it's worth having. It gives you strength to go through it, because it puts things in perspective. I'm suffering right now. A lot of other people are suffering. Maybe I can go help someone else suffering instead of sit here and worry about my own suffering. I've been through this, brother. I can tell you, you're going to make it. I'm praying with you. I see something about you that's real. Sometimes the most simple little word, and sometimes not say anything at all. Just go be with someone who's suffering. Just be led by the Spirit. But you got to find your purpose and fulfill it. You're going to suffer, folks. We are going to suffer. But if we have the right attitude, we're going to come through that, and you're going to look back like Brother Jerry said, I would not take anything for what this has accomplished in my life. And I can look at this, what this church has gone through in the last 5 or 10 years, and I see so much more Christ on display than was beforehand. I hope you do too. If you don't, quit looking at yourself and start looking around a little bit. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. Brother and sister, when Satan attacks you, bringing thoughts and emotions, feelings, keep in mind who you really are. Step back, retreat into that soul. You say, but I still feel it. Oh yeah, you still feel it. But step back and say, but what is my purpose? Is it my purpose to tell that person off? Is it my purpose because they cut me off in traffic, I'm going to have a bad attitude the rest of the way to work? Really? Traffic was that important? But my kids are doing this, or my wife is doing this, and my husband's gone crazy, and all this kind of stuff. But what's your purpose? But my life here is a mess. As if that has anything to do with anything. What's your purpose? Do you care about that, or do you care more about this world here? I say, Brother Phil, I don't know if that's possible. Well, try it. I promise you it's possible, because I see it happening. It's called maturity. We're all growing up. Some of you are way more mature than some of us, and I appreciate that, because it just shows me, yeah, I can get there. And I appreciate your example. Appreciate your example. Some people, they're just such an even keel. And now all of us are not going to be that even keel, because some of us are just born more emotional. And so if you're not a very even keel person and you know, you get emotional, that's fine. Don't think, oh, I got to quit being emotional. No, you have to be like God made you to be. But just put it in God's hand. And let your attitude be right. God can use emotion. Yes, he can. Just yield it to him. Amen. I'm trying to quit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful you would come and just anoint us to hear this word and to speak it, Lord. And Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, that you care about us enough to send the message. You cared about this message so much that you died on the cross, Lord. You cared about us so much you came back as the Holy Spirit to indwell your body. You cared about us that much. And all you want to know is, do we care enough to surrender to you? Do we care enough to fulfill your purpose in our life? And Lord Jesus, your bride cares. It's not even a question of for the bride if we care. The question is just how soon we can just trust you, Lord. If we care enough, we will trust you. If we care enough, we'll go through the battles. If we care enough, Lord, we will allow you to have your way in our life, no matter what it is. And it's a scary place for our flesh, for our spirit realm to lay down our protections, our defenses, and just let you have your perfect way. Because we have this fallacy in our minds sometimes that we are kind of controlling the situation. Ridiculous. Because Lord Jesus, we want you to be in control completely. So help us then, Lord, to trust you. To give our worry and our care and our fears and everything into your hands and step back. And you can have your own way. We thank you for this word, Lord. Reveal it, Lord, to each one. Don't let just be just something we heard, like a teaching, like a seminar or a training in it. But Lord, let it become a life we live. Let it be revealed to us, Lord, that you have your way. I thank you for this, Lord Jesus. In your name I ask this, amen. Brother Nate, if you would come. Here sometime, a couple of years ago, I was driving to work, and I was worried about something, and it was driving me crazy. I mean, I could not get any peace of mind. It was just wheeling through my, just woo, woo, and I just couldn't, and I'd stop. I was fighting with it. I'm going to stop worrying. I'd try to think about myself and something else. I was just worrying and worrying, and I was about halfway to work. It was when I still lived in Charlotte, so it was like 10 years ago or so. And I was about halfway to work. It took me an hour to get there. And I said, God, this is literally driving me insane. I cannot do this anymore. I said, I'm going to put this in your hand. And if you take it, I mean, whatever you do, if you don't take it from me, I am going to go insane. If you take it from me, I'm going to have peace. But I can't do this anymore. It's up to you, whatever you want. And I just kept driving. I started thinking about something else. About 10 minutes later, I realized I forgot about it. And right away the thought came, yeah, but you forgot, but now you're going to start worrying about it. I said, God, it's in your hand, whatever you want to happen. Either I worry or I don't, but it's up to you. I got to work about 20 minutes later, had forgot about it again. It's real, brother and sister. You put it in God's hand and let him deal with it however he wants. You find freedom. And that's been a key for myself. When worry comes up like that, the sooner I can get to that point and say, hey, if you want me to worry, I'll worry. I don't believe you do. So I put it in your hand, do whatever you want. And he takes it away, brother and sister. He takes it away. Amen. God bless you. Yeah.